step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 315. I am Lisa Sheps, joined with joy with the HBDG, Miss Nicole Shiro. We are also joined by apprentice Kieran Hunter. And as always, you're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live, as always, on koop.org. You better not leave.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Okay. We have a little musical problem, which is going to be interesting for our show. This is Lisa Sheps. On the show today, we have Dr. Mister and their production of The Heathers, along with a Rocky Horror Show. We're also joined by Alex Garza and his show Cavalcade. And of course, we will have lively discussions of all the news and the views of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, Memphis, Minneapolis, and all cities that begin with an M. Stick with us. Okay, we have our music isn't working. So Kieran is going to desperately try to get the CD in a different CD machine, and maybe it'll work. And if not, we'll do it from my computer. Wait, I'm going to turn on your microphone.
We'll figure it
out. So it's going to be one of those rock and roll kind of shows, and we will see if it's working. And what you didn't hear was the piece of music, What About Love, from The Color Purple.
I know, good tune.
Oh, wait, hold on just a second. Let me just see something here.
Magic?
Oh. What about tenderness?
This is what it sounded like, and it would have been really beautiful had we done it. And I just want to go on record as Kieran rocks, because Kieran fixed it. Thank you, Kieran.
What about
okay, so
they should be singing "What About Kieran?" Kieran
they,
rocks.
They should. Kieran rocks. Okay, so I'm going to just do a little on-air coaching, Kieran. We're now switching to CD number 3 instead of CD 2. Everything we did on 3 is now done on 2. Is
people
now
learn
on 3.
Of the magic.
Yeah,
at Offstage,
yeah.
So
you
and
can
on
see
air.
How we make the sausage here at Offstage and on the air. So, Nicole, hello, welcome.
Hello.
Okay, thanks. Anything new in your life these days?
No, not really exciting.
Happy
I guess, I don't know.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Nicole. Happy birthday to you.
How old are you now?
18 in 18. My head.
Well, you know what? Rarely do you get the actual copyrighted version of Happy Birthday when you have me in the room, because I usually do my version.
Just the birthday song.
I do my birthday song, but you're not getting it. It's too easy. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
That's tomorrow, correct?
It is.
It is tomorrow. Okay, I'm done checking in with you. Kieran, what's new with you?
Just started a new part-time job.
Ooh.
Doing what?
Babysitting.
Nice.
For an actual baby?
Yes, for an actual baby. For a woman who used to be a professional musician.
Cool.
Very
excellent.
Cool.
What's the baby's name?
Margaret.
Shout out to Margaret. Okay, so your job when you're alone with Margaret is to sing show tunes to her. Okay, so we want her to be a theater
show
performer.
Show tune baby.
So let's, we have a full house.
We do.
Say hello, house.
Hello.
Awesome sauce.
So it's been a party in here lately, and
it has
I
been a party
like
here.
It.
So let's introduce the folks that are here, and this will also get a chance to test those microphones that we set up.
Yes.
So, Alex Garza, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back, Lisa and Nicole. Great to see y'all.
And Michael McKelvey, welcome back to the show.
Sup.
Sup. Gary Randolph.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Sup. Chase Brewer, welcome
Hello.
Back. You've
Thank
been
you.
On, but have you actually been here before?
Never actually.
You haven't, because I came to you last time.
Yes, you did.
Okay, and hold on. I'm going to stall for time for just a moment so I can see my... oh, no, I don't have the one that's got... I'm going to do it without. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
So here we go. Aline Mayagoitia.
Yes, that was excellent.
Yay, Lisa. Welcome. New to the show and veteran star performer, saving the best for last, Ms. Haley Smith. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Welcome, everybody. This is going to be a fun show, I can tell already.
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. Nobody that did not sound very convincing.
I was excited. I don't know why anyone else wasn't.
Okay, so the reason why I played that song, which is from The Color Purple and called What About Love, there was an article in Playbill.com about the greatest LGBT show tunes. And yes. That was one of them. So that is a... That is The Forbidden Love of a Woman and a Woman in The Color Purple.
Oh,
and
no.
Oh, my. And so all our transition music is going to be from this list. And so some of the highlights that we're not playing, but mainly because I played them too much, is Ring of Keys, which I just absolutely love that song.
I was like, you love that song.
Yeah. I am, and I am in love with Sydney, whatever her last name
Lucas.
Is. Lucas, thank you. Yeah. Do you know her?
No, but I'm in love with her. Yeah, I want to be her when I grow up.
She is so good. So this is going to be boring for those people that listen to the show. But have you seen the in performance video piece that on New York Times with her?
Yes, I have.
Oh, God.
She's amazing.
I cry whenever she starts. Oh, by the way, that microphone works. That's good to know.
Yes, that's magical.
So the other things that anything for him from Kiss of the Spider Woman.
Yes, I love that show.
I know you do. An Invitation to Sleep in My Arms from a show called A New Brain, which is being redone at Encores this year with, who's in it?
I don't remember.
Jonathan Groff. Yes, thank you. You know everything.
Yes.
Love her. I love her. We're going to actually hear that one, so I'm not going to say it. We're going to hear that one, and I'm going to say it. Oh, we're not going to hear that one. A couple from Falsettos. What More Can I Say? And another one that we're going to hear later. La Cage aux Faux. Ring of Keys, you talked about. So this is all part of Playbill's June Rainbow LGBTQ season.
Yes.
La la la. So there, and that's in celebration of, and hopefully, the marriage decision, which hopefully will come down tomorrow.
Yes.
There you go. Welcome to
my birthday. It's a good
to Supreme Court Watch. So this has been on the list to talk about, and I'm just going to talk about it because
Lisa.
Amazing Grace.
This is so funny. Yes, go ahead. Okay. Talk.
So I have now seen, I am so underwhelmed by this.
Oh, that's so funny.
And why is it the talk of everything?
I don't know. I was underwhelmed. And then when I was back home at Beast last week, I told you, I saw the commercial and I was like, now I'm actually excited.
Oh,
why
I think
is
the commercial
that?
Is awful.
I don't know.
I just don't.
I'm excited now.
Let's take a poll. Who's seen the commercial here? Okay, three of us. Who liked it? Who didn't like it? Okay, so we win. I stacked the deck.
I didn't have any interest beforehand.
So for those people that don't know what we're talking about, Amazing Grace is a new musical that's opening soon. I think it's in previews already, isn't it?
It starts, tomorrow, remember? 25th June.
Okay, and it's about the story of the writing of the song Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
It's a snorer to me. And I looked at when I read about what it was and I saw, I said, I'm going to see this commercial that everybody's been talking about, which is.
They liked it in Chicago too. I don't know. So, I told you I had no interest really in it. And then I saw the commercial. I'm like,
why
do I have interest?
One of the things I tried
now?
To do, Amazing Grace, for some of my transition music, they always try to have a theater show tune kind of slant to it. So I thought I would find a cover of it sung by Patti LuPone or Barbara Streisand or Liza or somebody.
Nothing?
Couldn't find any. So challenge to listeners, if you have a Broadway star that covered Amazing Grace,
let us know.
Yeah. I also, if you Google Amazing Grace in Broadway right now, you just get this show. You don't get anything else. So it was hard to find.
Interesting.
But anyway, there's Amazing Grace. Anybody want to say anything else more about it? Aline, you must know about Amazing Grace. You seem to know about everything.
I'm excited to hear more about it later.
You are?
Yeah.
All right.
Read about it and then check it out myself. Maybe.
Well, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. That's all I want to say about it. So there's some interesting shows coming up. First of all, Hee Haw the Musical. It's actually called Moonshine, that Hee Haw Musical.
Uh-huh.
It's opening at Dallas Theater Center September 2nd as it begins previews. Interestingly enough, the two people that wrote the music Brandi Clark and Shane McAnally. So who's country western buffs? Anybody?
Okay.
So those are evidently country western stars.
They're not stars.
Songwriters, but they happen to be LGBT. Keeping on that, so they're gay songwriters. Not together because one's female identified and one's male identified. So then, and if they're gay, they can't be.
That's not going to work.
So it don't work. But here's the press notes says it distills the spirit of an iconic television series and bottles it into an original musical comedy.
Interesting.
See what they did there.
See what they did there. It's got the sets are by John Lee Beatty, so it's got some big names in it, and it's right around the corner, Dallas Theater Center. Perhaps there's a offstage and on the air field trip.
Maybe there is.
We'll rent a bus. We'll bring the field recorder. We'll do a show.
We could take the fancy bus that I took to Dallas.
We could take the FB. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So that's and then Misery is making its Broadway debut.
I know. Did you see the cast change? Right.
Yes, and I did not know the original person I didn't print that one. I had a printer issue.
I did today too.
So it's Laurie Metcalf.
Yes.
And who's playing him?
Oh Lord, I don't forget. I got all excited about her. Hold on, I have it. I do have something. Oh, it's Bruce Willis.
Willis. Yes, making his Broadway debut.
Yes.
And since I don't have my, when is it?
October 22nd, I would think, or previews. I think it opens. Yes, October 22nd or previews, and November 15th it opens.
It will be at the
home
Broadhurst.
Home of Hugh Jackman.
That's a misogynistic name of a theater. I just want to say that.
The Broadhurst?
Yes.
Okay.
tell
the dude with
work
his
with
name.
Me, people, for God's sake. You know, it's not easy up here, like working week in and week out trying to make you guys laugh. It's just not easy. Have you heard of this show called Shows for Days? It's opening at Lincoln Center.
I was like, is it Lincoln Center, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little bit. I
haven't
really
written by
attention.
Douglas Carter Bean.
Isn't that a great name?
It is. And there's a great story in the New York Times that talks about him from back in, all the way back in June 18th.
Woo! That bad.
Boy, that was a long way. So you really have to go into the archives for that one.
I know.
So way back in June of this year.
Whole less than a week. I mean, that's a long time ago.
I like it.
I really do my homework very well. So way back in June, this article came out. But it's about Douglas Carter Bean, who got his start as a young person in high school. He was a young gay man in the 70s. He and I are the same age. Not finding an outlet for anything. So he found his outlet in this little theater in Philadelphia called the... Okay, hold on. I'm going to come up with it. Starts with a G.
The theater that Mr. Bean went to.
That is actually the name of it. The Genesius Theater, who I believe is the patron saint of actors.
I believe so.
There you go. And the woman that ran it was... very important. And I'm guessing who here in their young theatrical lives has someone you can point to that was like really important in your life as a theater person? Most everybody. Yeah. For me, it was Chris Wilson. Everybody shout out the name of the person. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Chris Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. That was good. In this,
you're cracking yourself up today.
No, I'm funny. In this case, I'm trying to find the woman's name, and of course I did not underline it, so I don't know what it is, but she is played by somebody named Patti LuPone.
Oh, who is that lady?
Yeah, I don't know. And the person playing Mr. Bean, it's autobiographical with different names. He's changed the name to protect the innocent, but we know who it is because we're offstage and on the air. Michael Urie.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Vaseline.
I love Michael Urie. So folks will know him for doing.
You're talking about TV or theater?
Well, ugly. I wasn't going to that theater. Under
Buyer and Seller.
Buyer and Seller. He played the person that lived under Barbara Streisand's basement.
Yes.
In a little mall. But TV watchers would know her for the gay man in Ugly Betty, the one gay character. But the playwright wrote the book for the current version of Cinderella, and it's most well known for Little Dog Laughed and The Nanny. And it's just, it's great. The Jerry Zaks is directing this piece.
Oh, I like Jerry.
It looks like a wonderful piece, and I just love this guy. Oh, and I have highlighted something to read. I don't know why. Oh, we'll just read it.
We'll read it. It must be important.
Oh, it's talking about him reading. He goes on. So you hear, and this drives me crazy about performers, and especially stars. They go, I don't read the reviews. And come on, everybody reads the reviews. Especially the performers with important egos. Anybody here not read their own reviews? Yeah, so everybody else. So, but he actually goes on and goes on to the sites, the chat sites, and hears all the really mean stuff. And he said, you know, he said, you got to hear it. And he tells a story about what it's like. He says, it's it keeps me real. It's sort of like having a vicious, alcoholic, drunken uncle at a party. You just sort of go, well, he was right. I do need to lose weight. I just thought that was funny. Shows for days. It looks very interesting over at Lincoln Center at the Mitzi Newhouse, which is a lovely little theater at Lincoln Center. Two more things before we move on. Julie Kent. Everybody knows who Julie Kent is, right? Crickets, crickets.
No. I'm shaking my head, which I should know better.
I should have known who she was, but she's been dancing with the ABT, American Ballet Theatre, yes, for 39 years. 29
years. Yeah, it was like almost 30, I thought.
29 years, and she did her final performance of Romeo and Juliet. She had a 23-minute ovation at the end.
She deserves one, man.
Yeah, because think of it, 29 years for a female dancer.
It's a long time.
Is unheard of. Yep. They don't last that long. They're usually, you know, when I worked with Joffrey Ballet and the young, these girls were lying about their age when they were actually 21. They were saying they were 17. Mm-hmm. Because at 25, you're old in the ballet world. Yes. So I just thought it was good. So Julie Kent.
Bravo!
Brava! Bravissimo!
Bravissimo!
Golf claps. Finally, the last thing I want to talk about before we go to a break is Oklahoma Reimagined. The New York Times, no, it's Oklahoma, but this actually seems interesting. This is
they couldn't sell me with Hugh Jackman in it. You're not going to sell me with a reimagination.
Well, this has got about eight people in the cast. Curly sings "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning" with guitar playing. It's a different interpretation of the whole show. Everybody sits at tables. You eat chili. Sometimes the actors jump up on the table to do numbers. So it's a very, what's the word I'm trying to come up
interactive,
with?
Interactive, like dinner theater.
It's not
somewhat
the word I was trying to come up with, but close enough. It's sort of like interactive. But yeah, it looks interesting. And it's the Fisher Center for the Performing Arts at Bard College in Annandale and Hudson, which is way up north in Collin County, or one of the counties up north, above Orange County. So Mary Testa's in it, amongst other people. And it looks just very, very interesting. And they're talking about how when Rodgers and Hammerstein opened this back whenever they opened it, it was groundbreaking, very much like Next to Normal was groundbreaking, yes. Spring Awakening is groundbreaking, Whatchamahoojit that's opening now, the Lin-Manuel Miranda, Hamilton is groundbreaking. So they were saying it's very much the same way. So they sort of wanted to take that and make it groundbreaking again. And according to this, they sort of did a good job. But they had an interesting thing about the show itself, which I never really thought of, talking about the idea of a community and a community's need to create an outsider to sustain itself. Mm-hmm. And I never really thought of Oklahoma in those terms. It's like they made Judd into an outsider, so they had someone to hate.
Uh-huh. No, I actually...
Interesting. Yeah, I've got a little... I'm welling up here. So we're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to another song from the LGBT...
List of choices.
I was trying to come up with a different word, but it's not... Okay. But this is from Fun Home, and it's called Change My Major.
I got so excited, I was too enthusiastic. Thank you for not laughing. Well, you laughed
now,
a little bit.
Most of the people have moved away from the microphone, so this will be a hand-raising opportunity. All right, so here's the deal. In this hand, in my right hand, everybody, I have your most favorite cake of all time. It is the cake that you would get if you could just create one out of thin air. In my left hand, I have your favorite pie of all time. You can only have one. So by a show of hoots and hollers... who would take the cake?
I don't know. That's hard for me.
Because that wasn't one of the choices.
Yeah.
And who would take the pie?
Woo!
Okay, pies win.
I don't know.
So that's a good event to go to for co-op. And since we are allowed to command people to do things when it's co-op business,
we can tell you to
you
go.
Must go to that pie eating contest.
Yes,
you must. And if I knew how much it cost, I would tell you. But you can get it at KOOP.org. Join us here in the studio to talk about his new show, Cavalcade, is Mr. Alex Garza. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Lisa.
There you are.
I stapled my page wrong.
I said it was my fault. I stapled wrong. So, Cavalcade, it's been a while since we've seen you here.
Yeah, I would say it's been about a year and a half, for maybe 2 years.
Really?
Well, it's been a while since I've done a show.
I'm speaking Spanish to you because your last name is Garza.
Oh, that's okay. And one day I'll learn the language.
One day you will.
Slightly bilingual.
No, I know you're bilingual-ish. Okay,
bilingual.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Tell us about this show.
Oh, well, it's been about a year and a half since I've done a show. Mm-hmm. It's been a few years since I've actually done an original brand new show of characters and monologues and such. I've kind of done a lot of shows that have kind of intermixed a lot of my old stuff, a lot of my old characters. And, you know, I do my Abuelita's Christmas Carol almost every year here and there. So,
and you did it at my old theater several times.
Yes, yes. And I try to do that at least once a year during the holidays. But this is great because this is just brand new characters, brand new stories, and
So this is another one-person show?
Yeah, definitely a solo show.
What are some of the characters that you're playing?
Well, the word that came to mind, I couldn't decide what to title. I just wanted a word that was like all-encompassing and didn't have a specific kind of theme to it. Mm-hmm. And Cavalcade kind of encompassed like the idea of just different characters, different stories, kind of the whole idea.
Cavalcade means parade, so it's a parade of characters.
Yes. And yes. I always keep getting the word smorgasbord in my head, and that kind of describes it to me. And it's just like different characters that I kind of make up and characters that I think of in my head that make me laugh. And there's one character named Johnny Fry. And I won't say who he's based on, but he's kind of like a smorgasbord of different characters all mixed together. He's kind of like a mixed recipe.
Does he work in an electronics store?
No. But that name might have kind of been in the back burner of my mind. But he is an asbestos inspector and an animal rights enthusiast.
Of course, those two go together.
Yes, yes, they're one
and
the same.
What does he sound like?
He's kind of got he's just very outspoken, and he doesn't realize how loud he is sometimes, and he's just very passionate about everything he talks about, especially asbestos, because he sees it's a real problem, especially, you know, in old buildings, and he's here to rid the world of it and bring that problem to the forefront of our society.
There you go. I had to bring the volume down on you for that one. You're loud. So
he's
sounds
even
like
louder
a lot of
than
fun.
That. Yeah, he's
know,
a funny. And he's just a character that makes me laugh.
Does the show have a narrative? Does it go point A to point B to point C?
Well, I realized at some point it had to have some kind of common thread. And so what I decided to do, because some of my shows, as you know, have been a little bit autobiographical and from my life, but I didn't necessarily want to do that. I wanted all these characters to kind of be based in from a fictional backdrop, but also kind of somewhat based in reality. So what I did was I interwove some stories from my life in terms of the life of being an actor, particularly the process of going through an audition. So the main character in this story, or in this cavalcade smorgasbord performance, would be an actor trying to get a part in the frustrations of going through auditions and putting himself out there. And in that process,
there's nothing frustrating about the audition process.
not at all.
It's easy.
I get excited.
There's actually a lot of joy in it, but
no, there's not.
There can be a little bit of stress.
joy in it at all.
No, the joy is it's over.
Actually, the joy, if you've ever auditioned for a show where you just either don't want it or you can't accept it, or something where you just walk in and you don't care at all, those are fun auditions. And those are usually the ones that you knock out of the park.
Exactly. But I've been in some auditions where you just know when the minute you walk in and they see you that you're not going to get it, but you go for it, And you think you're reading for one part, but they take one look at you and say, oh, you're going to read for this part instead, But you just got to do your best.
I go in for the ingenue, and they always give me the character person. I don't know why.
Yeah, and at one point when I had an agent, I was always sent on auditions that I knew I wasn't right for, and, speaking languages that I didn't speak, and you just kind of had to wing it sometimes.
Yeah, there you go. That's good. That's the challenges of having a Spanish last name and not necessarily having... I have a friend named that has also got a Spanish last name. She does not speak a word of Spanish, not even anything, and everybody assumes she's bilingual because she has a Spanish last name.
Well, exactly. That's not nice.
It's wackadoo.
That is wackadoo.
That's something we do. Yeah. So that's cool. So the narrative sort of follows the wonderful, wacky, wild life of an actor trying to find work.
Yeah, you know, and it's kind of a little satirical. It's fun, a little dramatic, and, you know, it doesn't poke fun in a mean way towards anybody or anything, you know, but it does touch a little bit. You know, I kind of pull on a couple of characters from the mainstream that I think inspire me or kind of make me smile, and I kind of maybe do some a little bit of impersonation also in terms of some of the characters I play, but I think they're kind
what
of loving tributes.
Like impersonation of who?
Like one of my favorite characters, and my friend, I always leave messages for my friends and they just crack up, is Tim Gunn from Project Runway. And I adore his personality. And I thought, I got to put him in a show at some point. I hope he's okay with that. But and also, and I won't mention any names right now, but there's a couple little political figures in there, particularly that have been in the news of late.
Of late. Yeah, okay. So. Good. Well, that'll be good. I can't wait to hear about Donald Trump. It's just Tim Gunn was just in some show, that some TV show. He had a guest spot on something I just saw. I can't remember what it was.
Oh,
I don't know.
It'll come to me.
So when is this? So people will have like ample opportunity to see this show, right?
Well, we have one. We're doing one special performance. You know, in terms of my schedule, it's very busy lately, as you know, and we're squeezing in one performance on Thursday, July 2nd.
June 2nd, you know, back in June. Remember back in June?
Still living in the past.
So July 2nd at Ground Floor Theater, correct?
Ground Floor Theater.
Lovely. So that's good. So is it going to be, is it two acts, one act?
This is going to be a one act show, mm-hmm. and it's going to run about 80 minutes.
That is so good.
We like that time.
We love the 80 to 90 minute no intermission shows.
Yeah, and I just saw a play recently that I was just so overjoyed that it was like about an hour and a half, but it was just one fluid show, and that just overjoyed me so much because I'm not a fan of intermissions.
Was it Singing in the Rain? Because that's a fluid show.
It was a show here in town that was, is it okay to say the name of it?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, Mothers and Sons with Michael
Mothers
Learned,
and Sons, yeah.
Which I enjoyed very much.
I wanted to see that. I haven't seen it. You saw it, Haley? Anybody else? Who else saw Mothers and Sons? They were guests here on the show.
They were.
I did not get over to see it, and I really, really wanted to. Well, good. So you loved it. Well, it's so good to have you back on the show.
No, it's great. I always enjoy just sitting and
hopefully you will stick around and join us backstage.
I will.
Oh, good.
Excellent. We didn't ask, but you didn't tell people where we need to go, where they can go if they want to find out more information about the show.
There's a website, groundfloortheater.org.
Groundfloortheater.org. I love that website. Well, thank you again for being on the show, and stick around.
Okay, I will.
Okay, everybody, that was Alex Garza. His one-man show, Cavalcade, is one night only, Thursday, July 2nd, at Ground Floor Theater. For more information, groundfloortheater.org. And this is sort of a fun choice for a cavalcade, which, as you know, is a parade.
And in the victory cavalcade, you'll see the privates on parade.
Okay, that was a quick. We are the privates on parade.
Sergeant, a word with you.
Sergeant, a word with you. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on here locally in the city of Austin.
What's going on?
Did you bring anything in?
I did.
Oh, good. Let's talk about it.
I did. I brought in Cold Town Theater. We like our friends over at Cold Town Theater.
We do.
They're doing The Beach Boys Solve a Mystery.
Oh, cool. The Beach Boys Solve a Mystery.
Yes.
You know, there's a bio pick about, what's his name?
Yeah, about yes. Brian Wilson.
Brian
and it's
Wilson,
got the John
you.
Cusack in it playing.
Yeah, it looks
books.
Very
yeah,
interesting. Good.
Interesting,
yeah.
Yes. Well, this is a little different. The Beach Boys borrow a page from the Hardy Boys as they fight crime in the secret underbelly of the seediest beach Ooh. Town you know. Think Galveston, but prettier and with more crack cocaine.
Sounds like my house.
So you have to find out if the America's Band can defend their beloved hometown from the degenerates of Surf City while resisting the urge to experiment in the 60s counterculture. It's exactly like an episode
of
Scooby-Doo. Yes. I think that's... Well, yes. Never mind. I don't
like
where I thought it was going. But yes, so for more information, you may visit coldtowntheater.com, and that's theater ER.
Of course it's theater ER.
So
I've got to talk about something that wanted to be on the show. We didn't have time for the exchange artists. And of course, in my printer mishap, I didn't bring the printout. So I'm going on my little iPhone.
That's
here.
What I had
But
to
it's
do.
Called Sacred Space. It's the exchange artist and musician composer, Allison Lipkin, a.k.a. Dee Dee Dagger.
Yeah.
Love that, Dee Dee Dagger. So it is it's a very interactive, which is the word I was trying to come up with. No, never mind. That's what you said.
Interactive is a great
word. That's not the word I was trying to come up with. So I'm just going to read this because I can't, I don't have my pieces of paper with my notes on it. The concept originated from the observations of sacred spaces throughout history and the pilgrims who continue to travel and seek the potentially transcendent experiences of witnessing such spaces. Sacred space ponders the earliest human questions of existence and purpose. Also sounds like my apartment. It is an entirely original piece devised and performed as an immersive sound and visual experience. It follows the path of one modern pilgrim as she discovers how to participate in the journey that she cannot control. So, it features our own Zach Crawford,
yes.
Karina Dominguez, Bridget Farr, Anne Hussman, Holzman, I don't know her, Vanessa Marie O'Brien, and Zach Thomas. Two Zachs.
Yes.
Anyway, so let's just run on to today. Oh, you know what we need to do?
What?
Alex Garza, you need to choose a number between 1 and 44. Quickly.
35.
He said 35. Okay, so here we're going to just do that. And then we just go to 35. So let's see what or who Alex chose.
Hi, we're the cast of Jersey Boys. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
Yay, the Jersey Boys.
They just pop
still
up
still one
everywhere.
Of my favorite interviews with those guys.
They're Jersey Boys.
They're Jersey Boys. Okay, today in theater history, we're going to try to do this
quickly.
1942, Gypsy Rose Lee and Bobby Clark opened in a musical called Star and Garter. At the Music Box, my favorite theater from the outside.
It's a great theater.
I like it from the outside. It's inside, it's okay.
You're right. It is okay inside. But it is pretty on the outside.
And then in 1948, an ice skating review called Howdy, Mr. Ice. And, you know, currently at Ground Floor Theater, we're doing the Great American Trailer Park musical, and they talk about how all good entertainment is done on ice skates.
Yes, well, aren't they going to the ice capades?
Yeah, they're going to the ice capades. Exactly. In 70s,
Rocky Das musical had ice skating.
There you go. What didn't Rocky Das musical have? I'll tell you one thing it had. It had a full-size regulation boxing ring. And
moved.
The stairs that go up to the library.
It's exciting. It's a museum, but that's okay.
In 1992, somebody named Al Pacino starred in Chinese Coffee at Circle in the Square.
Who's that?
I don't know. And it's in some unknown theater.
I know.
Called Circle in the Square. In 1999, Sheer Madness became the longest running show in history in Washington, D.C.
Crazy.
At the Kennedy Center. It opened for 12 week run in 1987 and never closed.
Isn't that crazy?
Whoa. Still running right now.
Mm-hmm.
My friend and ex-roommate Mark Baltazar was the original stage manager of it when it opened in Boston, when it was created.
It's a fun show.
It is. And speaking of Buyer and Seller, starring Michael Urie, it opened in this state in 2013. Today's birthdays, Ira Hart, 1872. You remember him? Michael, you remember him. Yeah.
We went to college together.
He was an actor.
But you two got in a lot of trouble.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Ira.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Luizos was born in 1957. She's a scenic designer.
Ah.
And Ian Glenn was in 1961. And people would recognize him from Game of Thrones. He plays one of the characters in Game of Thrones, which I just love. All right, so our piece of music that we're going to go with this, keeping with our theme of LGBTQ songs, from La Cage aux Folles, the song On the Sand. We'll be right back.
La da 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 da. As we walked on the sand, I heard la.
Welcome back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin. I am Lisa Sheps, and Nicole Shiro and Kieran Hunter and I are all here working so hard to entertain you guys.
Woo-hoo!
But thankfully, thankfully we have help. The cast of the Heathers and Rocky Horror Show, Dr. Mista Productions, and the brainchild behind Dr. Mista, longtime Austin theater icon, Mr. Michael McKelvey.
Well, icon, thanks.
Yeah.
Icon. You know, somebody once told me I called him an icon and they got mad because they thought it was a negative connotation. I don't think it is.
Really?
It's flattery. Thank you.
I'm going to give you, I think icon would
keep
be
keep bringing it. Bring it on.
Maybe I will. Gray Randolph.
Hey.
Hey. So tell us who you play in what in these shows.
So in Heather's, I play the antagonist and
I know her.
Teen Dream antagonist. JD.
No. Okay. Sorry.
JD in Heather's, and then in Rocky Horror, I play the sweet transvestite Frankenfurter.
How fun is that?
Yeah, yes. It's great.
Speaking of Frankenfurter, I heard an update on Tim Curry.
Did you? I talked about. I spoke about it on the. Yeah,
oh, you did. Okay.
I spoke about. Yeah. Well, yeah, he was out for the Tonys. Not so, looking good.
Good, but he had a pretty massive stroke. So.
Yes. But
so
it was good to see he was out because you and I thought someone was hiding him from us.
I know.
So Chase I was happy about that.
Well, but he listens to the show too. Mm-hmm. Chase Brewer.
Yes, I'm Chase Brewer. I'm playing Brad Majors in Rocky Horror.
Brad Majors. I never knew their last name.
Yeah. Really?
Brad Majors.
I was not,
I was like,
okay.
You obviously didn't.
I have seen
see
the
it.
Movie exactly one time, and I saw it in 1977. So
you've never seen a stage production?
I've never seen the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh.
But we'll talk about that. Okay, here we go again. Aline Mayagoitia.
Yes, Aline Mayagoitia, and I'm playing Veronica Sawyer in Heather's, and I'm in the ensemble of Rocky Horror Show.
Ensemble. That's
ensemble.
French, you know. Ensemble.
Oh, yeah. Oui.
And then every time, does anybody know the, well, let's... introduce Haley Smith first.
Hi. I play Janet Weiss.
Damn it.
There it was.
I just started it. No, actually, I didn't. That actually was off
the
cuff.
Oh, that was spontaneous?
It was.
Wonderful. It always feels spontaneous.
It does. Anyway, so does anybody know the music from Something Rotten? Has anybody listened to that enough?
Yes.
Know
it? Some of it, yeah.
So they're talking about musicals and how they, and I believe this may have been part of what they showed on
the
Tonys.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point they go, must people be miserable? And he goes, no, I believe it's pronounced miserable.
Yes.
Ensemble. So we have two shows going on here.
Yeah, we do.
Tell me about them.
So Heather's the Musical is based on the 1980s cult classic film, which featured Winona Ryder and Christian Slater, and also Shannon Doherty, the infamous Shannon Doherty. And it was the film that gave rise to such great classics that followed, such as Jawbreaker and Mean Girls. It was the original Mean Girls film with a much darker tint to it. Mm-hmm. And then the Rocky Horror Show, which is based on the famous The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right.
But,
so the picture show came first.
Yes.
What came first, the chicken or the egg?
I don't know.
Okay.
But we know which came first in this case.
Right, yeah.
R, yes. I saw, speaking of the Circle and the Square, I saw the Broadway production of Rocky Horror at the Circle and the Square with the Dick Cavett and the Jared Emmerich.
Dick Cavett was in it?
Dick Cavett was the narrator.
Oh, get out of town.
And Daphne Rubavega was Magenta. Joan Jett was Columbia. Leah DeLoria was
Eddie.
Yeah. Let's see. Alex My Tom Ripley. Hewitt, who I'm obsessed with, was Frankenfurter. My Alice Ripley, that I love, Janet. Okay.
Well,
it was
but
great.
That's cool. Awesome.
Sorry.
So
it was really good. Yeah,
okay.
Dick Cavett.
So
sorry.
That's the Heathers.
That's Rocky Horror.
I mean,
and then
that's
we
Rocky Horror.
And then we go to Heather's, which is a brand new musical, came out just about a
last
year ago.
Year, right? Mm-hmm.
We're one of three regional companies to get the rights to it.
Awesome.
Lawrence O'Keefe, who wrote Legally Blonde and Bat Boy, and Kevin Murphy, who wrote Reefer Madness and also is responsible for
somebody did
Housewives, Desperate Housewives. Yeah. They collaborated on this work. And that's,
somebody did Reefer Madness the musical here just recently.
I wonder who. And also did Legally Blonde and has also done Bat Boy.
That's true.
No, I think it's a super smart show. Just like Legally Blonde script ended up being much smarter than we thought. And these two guys together, you can hear their influences, like who really wrote which number, based on knowing Reefer and Legally. So.
Which
well,
is cool. I like
which
that.
Is great.
I think that's awesome.
Let's jump right in, and here's one of the things from the Heathers.
It.
So what do we want to go to here?
We're going to do one number from Heathers, and this is probably the most famous song from the show that has gotten more YouTube hits than I think anything else from the show.
Yeah.
This is Dead Girl Walking, and this is as Veronica has been shunned by the Heathers. She's just left their group, and now she's looking to figure out what's next in her life.
Okay, so this is Aline Mayagoitia, and I had to look and see who you were, Gray Randolph, singing Dead Girl Walking from Heather's the Musical.
has decreed it. She says Monday 8 a.m. I'll be deleted. They'll hunt me down in study hall, stuff and mount me on the wall. 30 hours to live, how shall I spend them? I don't want to stay and die like cattle. I could change my name and ride up to Seattle, but I don't own a motorbike. Wait, here's an option that I like. Spend these 30 hours getting free gay. Yeah, I need it hard. I'm a dead girl walking. I'm in your yard. I'm a dead girl walking. Before they punch my clock, I'm snapping off your window lock. Got no time to knock. I'm a dead girl walking.
Veronica, what are you doing in my room?
To wake you. See, I decided I must ride you till I break you. Cause Heather says I gots to go. You're my last meal on death row. Shut your mouth and tidy whitey. Come on, tonight I'm yours. I'm a dead girl walking. Get on the horse, kiss this dead girl walking. Let's go. You say you're numb inside, but I can't agree. So the world's unfair. Keep it locked out there. And here it's beautiful. Let's make this beautiful.
That works for me.
Chosen something with more energy, I think. My Lord, I was like, that's great. How much fun is that?
So fun.
So let's talk about the shirt you're wearing. What does say?
We have an amazing shirt that says Heather and Heather and Heather and Veronica.
There
which
you go.
I think basically describes.
Are there three Heathers?
There are three Heathers.
You've never seen the movie?
I have not seen the movie.
Oh, Lisa. That's some homework.
I will not bore you guys, but I do have a Heather / Mean Girls story, which I will maybe say some other time. Perhaps
maybe backstage.
Maybe backstage. I have not. I did see Mean Girls eventually.
If you like Mean Girls, you will love
You'll
Heathers.
Love Heathers.
Yeah, Heathers is absolutely. Way better.
That's so much fun.
That's, yeah, all the music. If you enjoy those shows we've named earlier, this one blows. It's all things that are good about them. I think it blows them all out of the
And
water.
Heather's the opened score. Last week.
It opened last week. Rocky Horror opens tonight.
And are your houses incredible as they usually
they're,
are?
They're doing pretty well. And the talk on street's good about the shows, and people are just loving
talk is
being
always
part.
Good on your but, shows, I mean, Michael but McKelvey.
I was to say, it's a Dr. Mista production.
Well, thank
so,
you guys.
I mean,
I'm
because
iconic.
Not only are you a doctor, but you're a
Mista.
And hence you know, the name.
That's what I use for my plants. I use a Mista.
A Mista?
The Mista. But, people are really excited. Just this musical nationally is getting so much pub, especially on Twitter and everything like this. This is
it's a crazy phenomenon with the girls.
Yeah.
Like girls high school and middle school that just love it.
Girl power. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I want to get to another song because time is like marching on. So what do you want to do next?
I think we should do some from Rocky Horror, and let's get Brad and Janet up here.
Brad and Janet?
And let's do some Damn It Janet.
So that's Damn It Janet, speaking of the same. So do we want to do anything to set this up? I mean, does anybody not know what this is?
I don't think so.
All right, so we're just going to do it then, right?
Let's just do it.
Just do it.
For gosh sakes, let's just do it. Okay, so let's take some time and listen to Haley Smith and Chase Brewer doing Damn It Janet from Dr. Mister's production of the Rocky Horror Show.
The river was deep, but I swam it.
Janet.
The future is ours, so let's plan it.
Janet.
Now please don't tell me to can it.
Janet.
I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet. I love you. Oh, the road was long, but I ran it. There's a fire in my heart, and you fan it. If there's one fool for you, then I am it. Now I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet, I love you. Here's a ring to prove that I'm no joker. There's three ways that love can grow. That's good, bad, or mediocre. Janet, I love you so. Janet,
for you.
I love you too. There's one thing left to do, and that's go see the man that began it. When we met in his science examine it, made me give you the eye and then panic. Now I've one thing to say, and that's damn it, Janet, I love you. Damn it, Janet.
Oh, Brad, I'm mad.
Damn it, Janet. I love you.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Yeah, you.
Both of these shows I love.
So, I'm hearing the dulcet sound of strings in this. Tell me about you. What music accompaniment do you
There's
have?
There's no strings. no, we're using
those weren't actually strings either.
Yeah, I know. we're using a rock band for both shows. They set up for that really well. We're just going with keys, drums, bass, and guitar, and it works exceedingly well for both. So.
Oddly enough, I use keys to get into my house almost every single day.
R, that is kagi in Japanese.
Yeah, it's kagi. It's yave in Spanish.
Yes.
Okay, so thank you. Next
Today,
week on Language.
Today on Language with Lisa and Nicole.
So tell us more about the production. Do you have who else is in your team that you'd like to highlight?
Well, we have a cast between the two shows. We have a cast of about 25. So, but we have people like Jose Villarreal. He's in both shows. Yep. Matt Connolly. Michelle Alexander is going to play Magenta for us, that's a treat. Sarah Zarang's playing Columbia. We have over half the company is made up of college students from around the country. Uh-huh. Some were raised here, some came in. Gray has about, I don't know, five friends from the University of Oklahoma, four or five that are all here. I brought some Point Park people in. Aline goes to UMich. We have some people from
University
UT.
Of Michigan. Is that what UMich is?
Yes. That's what UMich is.
My mother's alma mater.
Is it?
So, yeah, it's an exceedingly talented cast across the board for both shows. So we're really just happy to get that kind of talent to come in and do it. And we're doing both shows in rep. So we actually have five performances where they're doing both shows in the same evening. So,
so do we work on basically the same set, or
same unit set, and we're just doing it.
What is it?
There's platforms.
It's a picture of you and I.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Hello.
I wanted to make sure.
We put your portraits up, but the set designer took them down. I was really upset about it.
God, I hate that set designer.
Yeah.
Costumes are amazing.
Yeah, especially on Rocky Horror. Glenda Barnes is our costumer, and she is gone.
I love Glenda.
This is probably some of the best work I've ever seen from Glenda, and she's maybe done 8 shows for me. So I'm really excited for people to see those Rocky Horror costumes, especially.
Wow. Well, can we hear the other song for Rocky Horror? And while we're setting that up, why don't you tell folks where they can get more information?
Sure. They can just check out our website, which is doctamista.org. That's doctamista.org.
The normal spelling.
The normal spelling of it. Yeah, and all the information's on there, and we're just like Wednesday through Sunday, so...
Great.
Come on
okay.
out.
So tell us about the song we're about to hear.
We're going to hear the classic number from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, or the Rocky Horror Show, featuring Gray Randolph singing Sweet Transvestite.
Great. Well, you did all my my lead up. Hold on. We're doing a little swapping of the headphones.
It's musical.
You ready, Gray?
Yeah.
I want to make sure that you're ready. Okay. And here we go.
How do I see you've met my faithful handyman? He's just a little brought down, because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So let me show you around, maybe play you a song. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too visible, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie. I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? You see, we're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, and then we'll go back to our car. We don't want to be any worry. Well, you got caught with a flat. How about that? Now, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem alright. I'll teach you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night? Or maybe a bite? I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hit it, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.
All Okay, that was great. We have just time to say goodbye and give people information. Thank you guys for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yes. We had a wonderful. So everybody, that was Michael McKelvey, Haley Smith, Chase Brewer, Aline Mayagoidia, and Gray Randolph, all of Dr. Mister's productions of Heathers and the Rocky Horror Show. They are playing now through July 11th at the Salvage Vanguard Theater. For more information, drmista.org. And we're just going to have time to say goodbye.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. So remember, everybody, tweet us on the Twitter.
Tweet, tweet.
Please face us on the Facebook.
Face us.
Stitch us on the Stitcher.
And the best way.
Get us in your
mailbox. How? We get delivered. Offstageonair.com. Enter your email address in that box in the right-hand corner and voila.
And voila. Offstageonair.com. So if you are listening to the podcast, stick around, and you should be listening to the podcast.
Because it's fun.
We're going to be at backstage at Offstage, and we need you there.
Good times.
If you're not, you're going to stand by for Austin Monitor News. They are next. Nicole and Kieran and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. And we're going to go back to our LGBT, and this is Unlikely Lovers from Falsetto Land.
Shut your mouth, go to sleep. Time I met a sailor. Are you sleeping yet? Or what is what, wizard? But I can't help but feeling I've failed. Let's be scared together.
Here we are backstage again. The show has just come down on Bulldozer, the musical. The story of two women in construction finding themselves on the top floor of a multi-level construction project. So the elevators have all been put away for the night, and we're backstage smoking some cigarettes as the stagehands are busily sweeping up the sawdust from Act Two production number.
I'm surprised you didn't put your backhoe in there.
You know what? I give this a little ounce of thought before I do it, and that was like totally off the cuff because I thought of nothing. So we did lose a few people. So joining us here are Kieran Hunter is here with us for the first time in a while. Hi,
yes,
Kieran.
Yes, feel really special.
You got to go right up under the microphone. Michael McKelvey.
How you doing?
You've been backstage with us before.
I have been backstage.
You have. Alex Garza has not been backstage with us.
This is my first time backstage.
It's
I'm
your
happy
first
to
time
be
backstage.
Here. Yes.
And Aline Mayagoidia.
Hello.
Have you noticed that I don't think I've screwed it up once?
No.
I'm impressed, Lisa.
I'm sure I will. Yes. And the other thing that's odd about this particular recording of Backstage, I'm doing it without headphones, which is very odd. I've never, because I can't hear the recording.
You live on the edge, Lisa Sheps. You live on the edge.
L-O-E. I am living on the edge. All right. I'm going to start off by telling my story, my Heather's story.
I was going to ask if you could tell us that story.
So I'm
going to
tell a story. We rarely talk about me on the program because... Don't. So I did these AIDS rides, and I had a team, and we were this one. We were doing an AIDS ride in Hawaii. It was a week long, all the way through Hawaii, and our team name was Lisa and the Butt Bomb Boys. I was Lisa. So on the first day, we're all getting to know each other. It was a relatively small group. Normally, these AIDS rides are huge. This had only 80 people, and when they said And let's introduce the teams. And before anybody could say anything, my friend Sean said, our name is the Mean Girls, and we're all called Heather. And I thought that was just so clever. I had no idea where he got it. So the whole trip, we were the Mean Girls, and we were all called Heather. And then anybody that wanted to be one of us, because we were the best, and everybody wanted to be a Heather, but we wouldn't let you. You had to start out as somebody else, a Becky. Yeah, you could start out as a Becky. You might make it up to Heather. So then I get home after the ride, and I'm flipping through the channels, and I see Mean Girls on my guide. And I went, oh, my God, what a crazy coincidence.
When did you find out about the Heathers?
When I saw some of the Heathers. So I'm not up on pop culture. That's my story. Clearly, I thought it was much more fun than other people's. Aline, I got to hear about you. What's your story? Where do you come from?
I was actually born in Mexico City, lived there till I was 10 years old.
I call it Mexico City.
Yes.
Yes.
And now I have moved to Cedar Park since then with my family, and we've lived here. And then 2 years ago, I started college at the University of Michigan.
Oh, okay. So you decided to go to U of M from, so you lived in Cedar Park and you decided to go to U of M, and are you in the theater department there?
Yes, I'm getting a BFA in musical theater.
Lovely. Musical theater. Do you do anything in the dance department?
Yeah, we have to take classes at the dance
department. So when you
sometimes.
See my friend Judy Rice, she's, you know
yes!
Judy?
Okay. I take classes with her.
Judy is a very, very, very dear friend of mine. I've known
Amazing.
Her for years and years. So, so awesome. So you'll have to say hello to Judy. You take class from her.
Yes.
So Judy and I met when we were both working for Joffrey Ballet. She was in the main company of the Joffrey Ballet, and I was a stage manager of their third company. And she actually fell off her point and like got injured and had to leave the company. And so that actually is pretty good for her because then she went on to do a comedic ballet company, and then she got this job at U of M. She's been at U of M for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Awesome. So you're in the theater department there. What year are you in?
I'm about to be a junior.
You're a rising junior, as I learned.
I say rising, as we've discovered.
This is a new term that I just learned.
Young Shakespeareans, but to make sure you know it's rising.
Rising junior.
That's right. So you're a rising junior. And what do you plan to do with your theater education?
Well, the dream is to move to New York, probably.
City?
Yes, New York City.
Okay, I've heard of it.
And then, not upstate, probably. Too cold. I mean, Michigan.
Wait a minute. You just said upstate New York is too cold, but you go to school in Michigan.
Well, that's the thing. It's like I've moved just further north all my life, and it's not getting any better. But, New York City is the plan. And then to just try to work as an actor. I also really enjoy directing and writing. And
great.
I think that's something that interests me a lot, too. And I'm really trying to get started doing that in college because I think there's so many great resources and opportunities to do that at a much lesser, hazard level if
you
fail or something.
Yeah. Did you go to high school at Cedar Park?
No, I actually went to McCallum High School.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Down here on North Lamar.
Were you there with Scott Tatum when
he
was
in
it?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, all I'm doing is proving to people that I know
dropping.
People.
Name drop away.
Scott Tatum.
You're a name bomb.
Scott's going to be so proud that he's been name dropped. So
yeah.
when you're not here, I name drop Michael McKelvey all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know Michael McKelvey.
I know him.
Nobody
he
believes
me
when
money,
I say that.
So there you go.
That was my sorority name in college.
Oh, God. Starting that one up again.
So you did theater in McCallum.
Yes.
Did you ever do Summer Stock Austin?
I did.
So is that how y'all know each other?
Yeah, I did a class with Michael called the Performer's Workshop, which is, I think it's technically like a college audition prep class, so it's usually like juniors and seniors that took it, but I took it in my sophomore year because I thought, why not? And it was actually really wonderful. That's where I found out that the University of Michigan existed, among other brilliant schools that offer a BFA, and and then from there, I auditioned for Summer Stock Austin that year, and I did the producers, and then I teched Urinetown that year, and it was so fun, and I made a lot of friends through that. And actually, a lot of us are in the season this summer in Heather's and Rocky Horror, which is fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what got you into doing theater? Did you just pick it up in high school? Or?
Well, both of my parents are theater people.
Uh-huh.
My mom did a lot of musical theater, first as a dancer and then as a director nowadays. And then my dad actually did soap operas from the time he was like 13. He was kind
of... Not so much anymore. There aren't any, really.
Well, in Mexico, there are.
Oh, but those are telenovelas.
Right.
Okay, so they were performers in Mexico.
Yeah,
as we've discussed, I call Mexico.
Yes, Mexico. And they haven't done that since we moved here. But my dad has a one-man show called My Broken Christ that he's been doing for 14 years now, I think.
Wow, here in town? He's done it here?
All over the world. He's been everywhere with it.
That's pretty cool.
It's really beautiful. Yeah, and then my mom goes back and forth and directs. Like last year, she went and directed Cats in Mexico, the
my
revival.
My favorite
which is,
all-time show.
Well, you...
I'm lying, of course.
In Mexico, they die for cats.
What?
It's brilliant. No, I am not kidding. They die
for
it.
You know what? I believe you. And what's more, Donald Trump would believe you.
Well, I'm kind of on this crusade to like translate shows that I think are pretty brilliant and I think harder to translate. Like, there is no Sondheim translation that I have found into Spanish, because like, how the hell would you do that? I don't know. And I don't know. I think it would be worth it to try. I think there's several things
I think Esteban. Yeah, would be
I think I think that's I think that's an awesome idea. Actually, yeah. you should make that a project.
Yeah.
If you end up going to what do we call it, master's school.
Yeah.
If you end up going graduate to master's school,
you learn to be a master.
It's master's school now.
Yeah.
Yes, it's no longer graduate school. It's now master's school.
Oh, I enjoyed my time at master's school. Yeah.
Doctor. So you can do
and
your
then
thesis.
Doctor school.
Doctor school.
Yeah. Doctor school. That is awesome. What a great story. And the. It's so often, you know, most people that grow up in a household that don't have theater parents grow up and say, I'm going to be in theater, and it's sort of rebellion. In theory, that would work opposite. If you had two theater parents, you would say, well, I'm going to be a plumber.
Mm-hmm. Well, the funny thing is, actually, next semester I'm taking a semester off and going abroad, and I'm doing this program that has nothing to do with theater, and it's really exciting because I'm going to be studying like anthropology and geography and things that I think are so important to the life of an artist, but just because of how I grew up, I've never had the chance to just not think about, you know, singing and dancing and acting.
Great.
So I'm really excited to do
Mazel
that.
Tov,
where are you going, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a really cool program called Semester at Sea. So you basically get on a boat and you take classes on the boat, and then you dock at 10 different countries throughout the world. So that's it's a 4-month
trip. I believe that people that run that boat would be very, would take umbrage of you calling it a boat.
Well, it's a cruise ship. Yeah, it's a ship. Yeah.
Cool. Well, so Michael, what else do we need to know about you?
Just got a new job.
You did.
That's right.
You did. Tell folks about it.
So I will be leaving the Pittsburgh and moving to the NOLA. I'm moving to New Orleans.
Yes.
In August.
I call it Nolans.
Nolans. Yeah. And I will be officially the artistic director of Summer Lyric Theater, which has been a 50-year-old theater there in Nolans.
How great
And
is
I
that?
Will also be on the faculty of Tulane.
Tulane, right? Yeah, that's awesome. So, congratulations.
Yeah. I'm
Is that starting in the fall?
I'm overwhelmed and intimidated, and
you're gonna miss
everything
the snow, right?
I'm gonna miss it so much, but I can't wait for the amazing amount of humidity I'm going to face. So.
Well, no, but you have Acme Oyster Company there.
I have a lot of things.
When he has a beignet in the morning, the humidity will not be so bad.
It's always been one of my favorite cities, and when the job opportunity came up, I just had to jump at the chance of it, and they selected me. So,
and you're going to make sure that you have a big enough house to house all the people.
Yeah, everyone's been, I said,
relatively
I bought a really nice sized house in Pittsburgh. Everyone said they would come and visit. Two people visited in 4 years. But I'm sure there will be many more coming to New Orleans to stay at my place.
Such a creative art, like the creative vibe and energy of that city is so awesome.
It's great. And the Summer Lyric has this huge tradition there. So I think I'm their third artistic director.
Where is it? Is it downtown?
It's part of Tulane. Like Tulane has really housed that company, but it really kind of functions a little independently. Kind of like Utah Shakespeare does with Southern Utah University.
Right.
So they're super excited. I go down there Monday and look for a house.
Ooh, how scary.
And then
wonderful.
Go sit in rehearsals of lyrics. So yeah, so I get to see the company that
what
I'll
are they
be
doing
running. Right now? They're doing Once Upon a Mattress. I call them the Golden Age Theater because everything they do is, it's Oklahoma, it's Once Upon a Mattress, it's Hello. They're doing Hello Dolly this season.
Oh,
they're
my.
Doing Damn Yankees.
Where's the Brigadoon?
They do it. The most, I think, the most contemporary show they've done is Les Miserables.
Oh my gosh.
So that's another reason that I'm being brought in, is to help kind of foster in newer musical theater without driving away their audience.
Well, and the good news there's a lot of contemporary musical theater out there that is well known and will bring in an audience
edge. We'll move slowly and I mean we'll never
Rent
be doing Heathers.
Up.
Yeah, we'll never be doing Heathers there. But
never
maybe
say
I
never
thought you were
Michael
opening
McKelvey.
The season with Debbie Does Dallas.
I would love that. but I don't think they would. But like they haven't even done Beauty and the Beast, and for me that's
really
shocking to hear a big summer company hasn't even done that work. So
some of us feel that nobody should be doing that.
Well,
work.
But but if you're running
like
a company,
Hairspray is contemporary.
Hairspray is contemporary and things like this. Yeah. So there are shows there I think. So we'll see what we can get them to do.
Well, that's good. Mazel tov, as my people say. And so that's, have you already said goodbye to Pittsburgh? Are you out of there?
Yeah, I have a house there that I'm trying to sell right now. I will go back there in August and actually pack that house up. Uh-huh. And doing all that from here, my office at Point Park is still full of my scores, and that's going to be shipped soon by my student assistants.
So are we
like
still
going to... Over.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, you know, you left us several years ago, but you still feel like you're still here because you're here all the time. Are you going to maintain that schedule?
Yeah, I think so. My relationship with, like, summer stock will change because this is summer company.
Okay,
the intention to keep... I'll still work as a consultant for the company.
Mm-hmm.
My Doc to Mr. plans has always been, we just haven't worked in the summer.
Right.
We've done October shows, and with the position at Tulane, they've made it so I can go do other gigs. I mean, I have an offer right now to direct Crucible in the fall in Pittsburgh. St. Ed's has asked me to come in and work on their show, Mr. Burns, which is one we wanted to do with Dr. Mista. So there's offers here in the Southwest and all over the country that if I can make the class schedule work, I can take. That's part of the perk of
that's
the
cool.
job. So
well, great. Well, we hope you call in sometime from New Orleans.
I'll call in
please,
anytime
please.
You guys
great.
Want.
That'd be so much fun.
I'll be at Pat O'Brien's, and we can do whatever you guys want.
So back in the day, many, many years ago when I was in high school, I heard this story, which I now know is not true, but I thought it was a great idea. In Pat O'Brien's, I was told that in the ladies' room there was an Adonis statue with a fig leaf, and the fig leaf was hinged.
Oh, so what was
and
underneath
that,
it?
Okay, did you want to tell the story? Yeah. Okay. I'm just giving you a hard time. So the fig leaf is inch. So if a lady would look under the fig leaf, an alarm went off in the bar. I'd always heard that to be true, but of course when I went to Pat O'Brien's, I learned the truth that it's not true.
Is there even a statue?
No.
So, it would have been cool if there was just a statue,
really
but
cool
then the fig leaf didn't
I don't know
move.
Why anybody doesn't do something like that, because it's a lot. It seems
you
like
put
a
camera
fun.
Up could, and catch everyone trying to get a
no,
fig leaf.
No, you don't
me.
Put a camera in the ladies' room.
When you have
or
your
the men's room.
When you have your piano bar at
it's
ground
be
floor, Adonis statue.
Fig leaf.
Rig fig leaf right there.
Fig leaf.
I will.
With a note inside that says, surprise, I know you picked it up.
Just put a little camera in, get all these little selfies of people right there. Hello.
Yeah, the camera thing I think may just go over the line.
Oh.
In the bathroom. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Maybe we'll just put it outside in the hallway.
Yeah, there you go.
Alex, what's your story?
Well, I will preface by saying...
Bring that microphone closer to your mouth.
Okay. I will preface by saying that I did my... how do you say it? Master school?
You went to master school.
At Eastern Michigan. Uh-huh. So Ann Arbor was
that's
like my second home for a little
is
while.
Is it not?
No, it's in Ypsilanti, which is right next door to
that it is.
U of M. I have flown
you
an
were
airplane.
Neighbors.
I have flown my airplane into Ypsilanti.
They do have a little airport there.
A beautiful little airport, actually.
Yeah, so
Lisa's
I love
a pilot
Michigan.
Also.
We go
Lisa
shopping
does everything.
Really? Yeah. And I used to go shopping in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
So I love the little shops. You used to
and
get these.
I've gone shopping in both Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor.
Well, there you go.
Because Lisa does
that's just like a piece of history.
So I did not know you went to master school.
Yes, I did.
What was your master's in?
It was in theater with emphasis in acting and directing. And I did. That's where I actually started doing a lot of youth theater because I was like in a touring show where we used to go to all the Ann Arbor, Ypsilanti schools and tour, you know, children's shows and stuff.
What got you into theater? I don't think I've ever asked you that.
Well, I am kind of the antithesis in the sense that I just grew up in a family that just wasn't involved in theater, never saw theater. And I grew up in a place down in the Rio Grande Valley, which is a great place, but they just didn't have a lot of plays.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing we really saw that was theatrical was every Christmas the elementary would go see the Nutcracker, the ballet, at this big auditorium that they had in McAllen. And a friend of mine was actually – he took ballet classes – and he was actually in the Nutcracker, and I was always a little jealous because he got to be on stage.
Uh-huh.
And the museum down the street from where I lived always had these little different classes like art. I can't remember what other classes they had, but one summer they actually offered a drama class, and I was so excited about it because I always had this idea that I wanted to be on stage, and I was so influenced by sitcoms, and I was always aware of actors and just like their ability to make people laugh or cry or just tell stories. So when I got to be in a drama class, I was excited. And we used to do like little improvs, and the final performance wasn't as exciting as I thought it was going to be. We basically did a story about the solar system, and we basically held a planet and walked around in a circle. And that was really the extent of our performance experience.
I love that show. Did it make it to Broadway?
It did not. We ran just off Broadway for a couple of months, and then we kind of crashed from there. But and I can't remember. I hope it was Pluto or the planet formerly known as Pluto. Or is it back to Pluto now?
I have no idea.
I think it's
status. It's always a planet in my heart.
It's always a planet in my heart, too. You can tell me anything.
Yeah, and I think it was Pluto. And I think I've always had an affinity for Pluto as well. So that was really my introduction to theater until high school. And I had a wonderful high school theater program I was a part of, and I just loved being in the theater classes. And it was actually my high school theater teacher's birthday the other day, and I just told her how much, you know, it meant to me just to be around. I didn't get to be in a lot of plays because it was a huge department.
And were you in McAllen?
No, this was in Portland, outside of Corpus Christi.
Okay.
We had moved a couple of times by then, and I'm really grateful that I got to be a part of her program just to see, you know, what a great teacher and director she was, and she really influenced me. And of course, once I got to college, I did play after play after play. And I don't think I was officially a theater major for a couple of years, but
Your favorite play that you did?
I think my freshman year in college was really, I did like four or five shows. I did a play called The Fifth Son where I played Rutilio Grande. And at first, it's based on a real life story, based on Oscar Romero, Archbishop. And
I know it.
And he's well known within the Catholic Church.
Well, I know.
And there's talk of him becoming a saint eventually, but I don't know how far they are from that process. Anyway, I was upset at first because the guy, my character, loses his life halfway through the show before intermission. And I was bummed about that. But it turned out to be one of the more emotional characters in the show. And I got so much feedback from people telling me how much I moved them. And during my scene where I die, just, you know, brought them tears and things like that. So it really kind of, that's what really kind of set the stage for all the shows. And then that same year I did Claudio and Much Ado About Nothing. And that was my first real Shakespeare show. And that's another part where I got to get a little emotional. And
yeah.
It just really, I got to play some awesome parts in college.
Cool. And what's your dream role that you haven't done?
You know, even though I have the ability to sing somewhat, but I'm not a trained singer. All my dream roles are in the musical theater. I always wanted to play Judas in Jesus Christ Superstar. What's his name? The Stars guy in Les Miserables.
The Stars guy?
Javert. And I really like that the musical. Did you do a song from it? A New Brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to play that role, even though I don't think it fits me and I don't have the voice for it.
Well, you know they're doing it.
They're doing the revival. We talked about that. Yep. And good music. And I had the soundtrack with Malcolm Getz, and I just listened to that soundtrack over and over and over again.
Cool.
And I seem to always want to sing the parts that my range is not right for, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I always wanted to play Bobby Robert and Company because I just like that show so much. So.
Yeah.
That is a fun show.
It is a fun show.
Yeah.
Karen, tell us about you.
I was actually enjoying today's show because I've been in a production of Rocky Horror.
You were?
Yes.
Tell us what you played.
I was a lowly ensemble person, but I did a lot of dancing. I portrayed a statue. I had to stand a statue, and it was also a statue and the doorbell, so I had to pretend to like open like a door. It was weird.
Okay, who else has played a statue?
I'm in the ensemble for Rocky Horror right now, and I think it's one of my most fun ensemble experiences.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, since the revival, there's like the ensemble takes so much more.
Yeah.
There's so much bigger part.
There was a lot of dancing involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're in about 80% of our show.
Yeah.
So.
It's interesting. When I went to, you know, I was an adjudicator in the Greater High School Musical Theater Awards, so I went to see a lot of
the
high school.
Gafsnamnana? Gachsnamnana? How do you pronounce it?
I don't. I say the words out.
Okay, everyone says it differently.
Yeah, I don't.
Gachsnamnana.
Yeah, I don't do it. I just say the words.
Okay.
Until they come up with a better acronym, I will say the words. I forgot what show it was, but the ensemble was just so on point. And the leads be damned. They could have not been there as far as I was concerned.
There are shows where that happens, like The Civil War. I still say that about that show.
Yeah.
On Broadway, that was one of the greatest ensembles to this day I have ever seen.
Wow.
Okay, so Karen, so based on this experience so far with Offstage and On the Air, where are you going to go with this whole theater thing?
With this whole theater thing?
Yeah, what are you going to do? What's your next? What's the next step from a theater standpoint? Because you're not a theater person per se, correct?
Well, I did theater for about 10 years, but I haven't done it now for about 3.
Okay.
And I'd like to be able to do some more. I just haven't found the opportunity.
You know, I should introduce you to Michael McKelvey because he is an icon here.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You can teach
I've heard that, too.
It's true. Gosh.
That's a talk on the street.
And then in our last minute here, Nicole Shiro, tomorrow's your birthday.
It is.
So it's your special day. So tell us something about you that we don't know here backstage.
Something that you don't know about me?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be theater-based.
Not theater-based?
It doesn't have to be.
Okay. My great-grandfather was a battalion chief for the fire department, and I was obsessed with fire trucks when I was a kid and wanted to be a fireman.
There you go.
No, I wanted to be a fireman. That was quote unquote in the 70s. I wanted to be a fireman.
Right. Nicole and I.
I didn't
old.
Know the difference.
We're like both 33
then.
Or 34.
So, yes.
Yeah, so you want to be a fireman?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
And even though they were like your girl, I'm like, I can still be a fireman. Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I was in the back seat of my car, and my father was driving, and I thought I was being really clever, and I said to my brother, "Hey, Brent, what is it that starts with F and ends with UCK?
No!
And the brakes slammed on, and my father turns back, and I said, "Dad, fire truck, fire truck." I just didn't think that was very funny at all.
That's pretty hilarious.
So different rules here backstage than there are in...
Well, that was something you didn't know about me, right?
Yeah, that is something I didn't know about you. But you have a fascinating family.
I sail. Did you know I sail?
I think we
lived
have,
on a sailboat one
You
summer,
lived on a sailboat?
In the south of France.
Wow.
I took out a map that every day, and we would glorious. Pick the little port we would stop at, and it was a game, the Capitanerie, where you'd park in the port. It was the Damas was the name of the boat, so it would be how many tallies the Damas had versus the Capitanerie. Could we get in late at night on the dock, do our showers, and get out?
So what was your favorite port of call on that trip?
Pokerol Isle. Outside of Hyères in the south of France, probably about 45 minute hour drive west of Nice and Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat.
Lovely. Wow.
That, and then following wild dolphins and getting off course and jumping in the water and swimming with them near Corsica. Okay.
It's not really a port of call, but I'll allow it.
That was another
time.
Moment. So, but yes, Pokerol.
Well, that's cool. We learned two new things about Nicole, two wonderful things, and completely divergent.
You wanted something non-theater related, and I gave it to you, lady.
Well, I want to thank you all for joining us at Bulldozer the Musical and spending a little time after the show backstage. So that's it. We're going to go off, and we're listening to underneath us right now the wonderful music from the insert show name here.
Insert.
Okay, bye, everybody.
Bye.
You want those monkeys fried abroad, huh?
Bonus track.
That's pronounced bonus track.